Good morning. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Now that's a call for the church to get together and praise Him, is it not, this morning? I've been thinking a little bit this week about how we live under the righteous governance of God. Do you ever think about that? How we would display before God His praise, His glory. How that takes place in the context in which you and I live is not only the veracity of God's Word, in which we are totally dependent on Scripture, but also that we would exalt His obedience and exalt His authority. I hope that this week you can enjoy and cherish that together. And I hope that not only do you enjoy and cherish it this week, but that we think about it today. And as we think about it today, we contemplate something about the essential nature of God, His goodness to us, His truthfulness to us. Those are values that are so important to us as God's people and as God's flock. So thank you this morning, and we welcome you. We welcome you in the name of a God who we are sinners, but He came to rescue sinners. We welcome you this morning in the name of a God who loves us, who has an everlasting love and patience and kindness and compassion for us. We welcome you in the name of a God who is the ally of His enemies, the defender of the faith, merciful, just, compassionate, loving, always He welcomes us. I hope that you welcome Him in your heart today. And in His name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.
Father in heaven, we are incredibly thankful that you have not called us to follow Jesus alone. I am thankful for a body of people who care about each other, who are right now praying for each other, who seek to encourage each other and work for each other. And I pray, Father, that you would continue this work, that you would continue to unite our hearts, you would continue to increase our love for one another, and that our love in this body would be so evident that unbelievers would say, Jesus must be for real. Father, help us love in that magnitude. And right now, we want to love Miss Vicky and Miss Jean, who's taking care of her. We want to pray that you would work with power in her body to heal her. And Father, we want to pray that you would encourage her. I know that right now Vicky's concerned because of the things that she was supposed to do for VBS this afternoon. We pray that we would be able to pick that up and run with that, and that she would really be able to rest in you. You're sovereign over all things. And so we pray that you would encourage your heart. Father, we pray that you would speak to us as we open your word. We pray that you would reveal your Son to us. We pray that you would be at work in our hearts, fighting both pride and fear, and that we would trust in Jesus and follow Him as He loves your people. We pray this in His name. Amen. There's a very interesting phrase in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. It's a description of Paul's... It's a job description for a pastor. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1, 24, he says that, I am a worker with you for your joy. And as I thought about that this week, that's what I want to do this morning. I want to work this morning as I preach with you, and I want to work this morning for your joy. That the result of our time together is that you would be spurred on to love and good deeds, and that two things would happen. that God would be honored, God would be glorified, and you would be satisfied. And we've talked about this over and over here before, God's glory and our satisfaction. And here's what we've seen over and over and over. These two things are not at odds. To the natural mind, it seems like they're at odds, because for the natural mind to think about God ruling over us, God telling us what to do, that limit of freedom would reduce our joy. But what we see in the gospel over and over and over is that when we give ourselves to honoring God, when we give ourselves from the heart to obeying Him from the heart as obedient children, that what ends up happening as we honor Him from the heart, He's glorified, but we're satisfied. That we get the joy. So think about it like this. Think about a concert, if you're a music person, or maybe if you're a sports person, your favorite sports team. Imagine being in a stadium or in a concert hall where your group that you love and admire is on the stage or on the court, and I mean they're killing it. And the crowd is going crazy, and you're there clapping and yelling and raising your hands. Notice what's happening. You're giving glory. But in that moment, as you love what you see your team doing, you're getting joy. That's a picture of what the Christian life ought to be. Us living for the fame, for the glory of God. And the byproduct of that is us in our hearts receiving the joy for that. That's what we want to talk about today. What I want to do today is I want to talk about one very practical way where these two things come together. God's glory and our joy come together where we end up satisfied, fulfilled, glad together. Here it is. If you want God to be honored and your heart to be satisfied, give yourself to doing what God made you to do in the power that God supplies. Give yourself to doing what God made you to do in the power that God supplies. When you find out what God created you specifically to do in Christ, and you give your heart to it, there's nothing more satisfying in all the world. For me, there are times like when I am studying the Bible, getting ready to teach it, when the Lord is speaking and the Lord is giving me insight into His Word, when the Lord is giving me personal application and the Lord is helping me and it's coming together, or when I'm behind the pulpit and I'm preaching and people are getting it and people are, their lives are being changed, I'm telling you, it's like crack cocaine to me. There is nothing better. Sometimes I'm at my desk, I just raise my hands in worship and I say, this is what I was created to do. Whatever that is for you, when you find what God created you to do and you give your heart to do it, God is glorified and you are satisfied. There is simply nothing better on the face of the earth, and this is how it's supposed to be. So here's my goal. I want to take steps today to helping you find out not just what God created you physically to do, but when you were saved and God recreated you, what did He make you to do? What gifts did He give? I want you to at least take steps this morning toward finding that out and then encouraging you to give your heart to it. So let's take a look at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, if you grab a Bible, I forgot to look up the page number, but almost toward the very end of your Bible, you can go to Revelation and then go through the John letters and then you'll get to Peter. There's two of them. 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm going to start in verse 1, but we're going to focus in really on verses 7 through 11. 1 Peter chapter 4. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lusts, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excesses of dissipation, and they malign you. So they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For the gospel has for this purpose been preached, even to those who are dead, that though they are judged in the flesh as men, they may live in the spirit according to the will of God. Now here's the passage we're going to focus in on. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So here's the outline. And we're going to try to pull this up. Mark is gone, and so we're going to try to pull this up online. Not online. Are we getting it? Okay, sorry. We said last week, every little part of the body is necessary. Mark had to take his son to work. And here we go. So Tobias is filling in. Thank you, Tobias. Here we go. Here's the outline. We have 6 points. Don't be overwhelmed. We're going to try not to get bogged down in these. But here's the points. First, what are spiritual gifts? Who gets them? What are they for? What kind of gift? What kind of gifts does God give? How do I find out what gifts I have? And finally, what am I supposed to do with the gifts He's given? So very quickly, let's just look, what are spiritual gifts? And for this, I'm just stealing here a definition from Wayne Grudem. A spiritual gift is any ability that is empowered by the Holy Spirit and used in any ministry of the church. Or to make that maybe even more simple for us, they are diverse abilities that God gives to His people in order to love and build His church. Those are spiritual gifts. Number two, who gets them? Verse 10 gives us the answer. Take a look at verse 10 in 1 Peter 4. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So you tell me from verse 10, who gets the spiritual gift? Yeah. Every single believer. That's what he says. As each one has received a special gift. This is the same thing we saw last week in Ephesians chapter 4 that says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. This is confirmed by 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. That's each and every Christian. Boy Christians, girl Christians. Brand new Christian, very mature Christians. Every single one of us getting a gift to be used. So, who gets a spiritual gift? All of us. Now we need a few footnotes here. The first thing I want you to see is that everybody has at least one gift, but not everybody is equally gifted. Tobias, hit P. There you go. Okay, so notice this. Romans chapter 12. So notice that all receive at least one gift. Some people have lots of gifts. Some people's gifts are weak and not been practiced very often. Other people have very well-developed, mature gifts. Everybody gets gifted, but not all are equally gifted. So take a look. Romans chapter 12. For just as we have many members in one body, and all members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ, look at this, according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the portion of his faith. If service, in his serving, or teaching, in his teaching. He who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Do you remember the parable of the talents? Did everybody get the same amount of money to invest? No. But every single person was to invest what they'd been given into the kingdom. Some people have many gifts. Some people only have a few. You may only have one. Some people are really, really good at what they're doing. Their gifts are strong and fruitful. Other people, other Christians, you may have a gift. You don't even know what your gifts are. But here's the point. We're talking about spiritual gifts, which means that they're coming from the Holy Spirit. And as 1 Corinthians 12 says, He gives the same Spirit, works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He Himself wills. It's His gifts. He's God. He can give them to whoever He wants to. But the point is that we, even though we don't all have the same gifts, and the gifts aren't on the same level as far as maturity and fruitfulness, every single one is to be using their gifts for the good of the body. One more nuance. And it's this. Spiritual gifting can even vary in strength and time in individuals. Like notice this in 1 Timothy 4. He says, "Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery." Then notice what he says. He says, "You have the spiritual gift, Timothy." Now notice what he says, Timothy. "Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all." This is very instructive. Because Timothy is given a gift, but notice what Paul's saying to him. Paul's saying, you need to use that gift. You need to be absorbed in using that gift. Why? So that your progress will be evident to all. So even though he's gifted, he needs, as it were, to go to the weight room and work that gift out and make it mature. So notice, this is fairly good theology here. Notice what he's saying. God is sovereign. He's the one that gives the gifts. He gives the gifts according to his own desire. And yet, we are responsible to use what God's given us. Exercise that gift. So, what are spiritual gifts? There are these diverse abilities that God gives His people in order to love and build His church. And who gets them? Every single Christian. Number three, what are they for? Let's look at the text. Let's look at context here for a minute. We'll try to bring this together. Look at verse 1. "Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God." And notice in the text what the will of God is. Look at verse 8. "Above all, be fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. He says, verse 9, be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, notice this, employ it, how? In serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That's why God gives gifts. He gives gifts, this is very important, because sometimes we tend to take our gifts very personally, don't we? Try this out sometime. Get someone who's gifted at music and criticize their music. What tends to happen? Take someone who's gifted at teaching. Start critiquing their teaching. Get someone who's gifted in leadership. Start critiquing their leadership. It's very easy for us, it's very important, because it's very easy for us to think these gifts are ours. And this, we take it so personally, but just notice that the gifts belong to who? And they're given to us, but they're not for us. It's not about me. They're given, it says, for who? For others. So God gives me a gift, not for me to take pride in, but for me to use for your good. And the Lord gives every single one of you gifts for who? For us in this room. It's not mine to take pride. I dare you insult my gift. It's not about that. My gifting is for you. God gives you gifts for us. He wants us to use these gifts as a stewardship. That's what he says in verse 10. Employ it as good stewards in serving one another. Gifts are given by God to every single one of us to use in order to love His people. Next. So what kind of gifts does He give? The easy answer, I think, is in verse 10. Notice what He says. He says, each one has received a special gift. Employ it, serving one another as good stewards. Look at what he says, of the manifold grace of God. Some of your translations say the varied or the variety of the grace of God. So here's the easy answer. What kind of gifts does he give? A whole bunch of different kinds. It's a multifaceted, multicolored thing that God is doing here. There are a whole bunch of gifts. But it's very helpful, I think, in verse 11 that he begins to pull it down and categorize the gifts in two big categories. Notice what he says. Whoever speaks, this one kind of categorization of gifts, is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. And then notice the second kind of gifts. Whoever serves is to do so in the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified. So there appears to be these two major kinds of gifts, speaking gifts and serving gifts. And I don't want to overload you by going through all the different texts that talk about this, but what I will do is show you some of these texts, and I'll leave it for you. You can jot these down. I'll leave it for you to go home and think more about these, but I do want you to at least see these big categories. So let's start with Romans 12, 6 through 8. Keep on going. There you go, right there. Romans 12, 6 through 8. Notice the two categories of gifts. We have speaking gifts and serving gifts. And in Romans 12, 6 through 8 that we just read, you have these two different categories. So we have, on the speaking gifts, we have prophecy, teaching, encouraging, and leadership. Primarily related. Now, obviously there's overlap with these because the person in leadership is supposed to lead as to serve. But notice these are primarily speaking gifts. Then on the other side in Romans 12, he also mentions serving gifts, like serving, contributing, the gifts of mercy. Next text, 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10. notice here, the speaking gifts and then the serving gifts. So speaking gifts, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, the gifts of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. And then notice here the serving gifts, gifts of healing and miracles. And then there's this gift of faith, which I don't know which side it goes on. It must go on both sides. Then notice 1 Corinthians 12:28. Here we have speaking gifts, apostle, prophet, teacher, tongues. And we have serving gifts mentioned, miracles, kinds of healing, helps, and administration. And then very interesting, before we leave 1 Corinthians, there's two other gifts mentioned in 1 Corinthians. Notice what they are. I find this very interesting. He talks about the gifts of marriage and the gifts of celibacy. Now think about this. In both cases, it's easy to see gifts of celibacy because he says, listen, there's some people God's given the gift of singleness so that they can use all of their time to do what? To serve. But then think about that in marriage. In that, he gives the gift of marriage, but what are we supposed to do in marriage? It's to serve. He gives me things that I'm supposed to use to serve my wife. This is a spiritual gift. It's a gift of service. Notice, lastly, this is a passage we looked at last week, Ephesians 4. He mentions all speaking gifts, apostle, prophet, evangelist, and pastor and teacher. It's very interesting to me as you think about this, that there's no one list. None of the lists are the same. There's not a single list of spiritual gifts in the New Testament where even one gift is on every single list. Now, I think that's instructive because I think his point is that there are lots of different kinds of gifts. It's very interesting to me. He doesn't mention anything about music, which is obviously a gift that the Lord gives to people. But here, notice that what I think that we have is there's God is able to do whatever He wants to do, and He gives gifts according to the need that's in that body, so that body can serve each other. Every single gift, though, given for the good, not first of the person who received it, though they get joy from using it, the gift is given for the good of the others in the body. There's more to say, but let me move on to the next question. How do I find out what gifts I have? Let me just say this. If you go online, you go to Google, you can type in Team Ministry Spiritual Gifts Inventory, and there you can go, and they'll take you to a free spiritual gifts inventory. And I took it this week, kind of just for fun, to kind of see what it was. And I think that it's in the ballpark. There was no real surprises. But let me just say this. We're people of the book. And the Word of God says that He's given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. In 2 Timothy 3, Paul tells Timothy, listen, I've given you everything in this book, everything you need to make a man of God adequate, equipped for every good work are in this book. So let me just say this. If you think it's helpful to go get a spiritual gift survey, there's the place. You go Google it and you can get a free one. And it may help you to kind of at least start thinking in the right terms. But I want you to notice that God has not given us in His Word a spiritual gifts inventory. There is no divinely inspired test that you can go take and fill in the little blanks and figure out what your gifts are. No, what we have in the New Testament is we have this, that the Bible assumes that Christians who are following Jesus shoulder to shoulder with other Christians who are following Jesus will be able to figure out what their gifts are. That together as a body that we can figure this out. And so just think about this. Like I don't think we should make this more complicated than it is. Is it any surprise to anybody in this room that Aline Deal has a gift of leadership, teaching, and mercy? Is there any doubt with anybody in this room that Australia has a gift of service and mercy? None. So don't make this too complicated. Here's what we have. Let's just keep it simple. Notice that if all, if not most, of the gifts that are mentioned are things that every Christian is supposed to be doing in one form or another. Think about this. We don't all have the gift of teaching. But if you have children, does not the Bible command every single person with children to teach their children? This person with the gift of teaching and without the gift of teaching. We're supposed to teach our children. Titus chapter 2 tells women, listen, you teach younger women. It doesn't say, if you have the gift of teaching, then you older women then teach the younger women. It doesn't say that. Notice that we don't all have the gift of evangelism. But is every single Christian called to share the gospel? Yes. We don't all have the gift of healing. But is every single Christian called to pray for God to heal people? Yes. So we don't all have the gift of serving. But all Christians are called to serve. We don't all have spiritual gifts of faith. But aren't all Christians by definition, don't we all trust God? Yes. And so here yesterday, I was talking to my sister. We were walking down into this river where we're getting ready to take our kids swimming. And she said, you know what I've been finding out? She said, the Lord is teaching me that when people come to my mind, that I need to pray for them and I need to call them up to try to encourage them. That's simple. And she said, it's boggling my mind how many times when I do that person says, you don't even know this, but that's exactly what I needed to hear today. Now, could that be the gift of prophecy? Yeah, it very well could be. So here, these very simple things, here's what I'm saying. You can take a spiritual gift survey, but it seems that here's what God wants us to do. To live the Christian life, to do what God's calling us to do, to live the way God's calling us to do, to live, and likely, here's what we're going to find out. It just seems like that when I teach, that people are helped by that. Or when I pray for people to be healed, it just seems like God is answering those prayers. Or it just seems like that when I serve, that people are encouraged by that. Well, that may be your gifting. That may be how God has gifted you. Where is that place that when you're doing that thing, that you're not just being obedient, but it's like you're alive when you do that? That's probably where your gifting is. If you wake up in the morning thinking of lost people that you need to call or message on Facebook or go see because you want to see them saved, and when you go and share the gospel with them, you're seeing people saved, let's not make it more difficult than it is. You probably have the gift of evangelism. Right? So, here's what we need to do. Let's follow Jesus. Let's do what Jesus tells us to do. And let's pray that the Lord would show us what our gifts are. Just to be very practical, what we're working on right now as a body is putting together an in-reach team and an outreach team. And here's what I encourage you to do. You're not signing up for 3 years. You're not. Nobody's forcing you, calling you, will you serve in this point or that point and you have to be there until Jesus returns. We're not saying that. Here's what you do. Look on those things and say, I think I'd like to do that. And then go and do it. And if you're like, I think I'll go try this other thing over here now, then go do that. But the goal is for you to find what is that thing that you're like, this is what I was made for. And then do it with all your heart. So here's the last point. What am I supposed to do with the gifts God has given me? Now you tell me, what's the answer? That's right, use them. God's given you gifts, so use them. This text tells us how. Look at this. Very instructive. Verse 11, whoever speaks, if that's your gift, then notice what he says. The person who speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the very utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is incredibly profound, but notice what this verse does. This verse shows us how to serve in such a way so that we defeat both pride on one hand and fear on the other. So notice this. So pride would say, listen, here's my gift, and I'm going to go do it. I'm gifted, and I'm going to go out and do it. And it's very easy to do what you're good at in your own power. Right? But notice what it says. The one who serves is to serve how? In your strength? No. In the strength. Look at the text. In the strength which God supplies. So here, you go out dependently on Him. There's the destruction of pride. But at the same time, notice how the text destroys fear. Because there's some folks who, you may be incredibly gifted, but you're timid, or maybe you're just humble. And you're like, other people are going to be better at that. There's just no reason for me to get involved. I need to just let other people do it because they're going to be better than me. But notice what the text says. The text also destroys fear. Because it says, no, you go, if the Lord has given you the gift to go speak, then you speak how? As if you're speaking, what? The very utterances of God. Boldly. And if you serve, it's not about you serving. It's not about your gift ultimately. You're to serve in the strength that God supplies. So we're to go out dependently and at the exact same time, boldly. And then notice what happens. Imagine with me if every single person in this body or anybody, in any church that catches this, and every single person seeks to use their gifts in order to serve other people for the joy that they receive by serving, you tell me, what's life like in that body? It's a little slice of heaven on earth. As people who are weak, and Romans 3 says, who are useless, is what it says, that have been changed by the Savior. Changed by the Savior who, for the joy set before Him, endured the cross in service of His people, in the strength that God supplies. If we would get that, and we in turn would give ourselves to serving each other in the strength that God supplies for the joy set before us, the gospel would be preached. God would be glorified, and we would be so satisfied, wouldn't we? So here's the question. What are your gifts? You look through that list and you're like, you went through that list way too fast. I gave you that. I'll be happy. We'll be happy to talk about this more. I'll be happy to give you that list again. Just give time. Read the Bible and say, you know what? I think that it might be this. Go out and use it. Serve the Lord. Watch people who you believe have that gift. Give yourself from the heart to use your gifts to love God's people. And God will be honored. And every single person in this room will be glad, satisfied. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just think You're kind. We think You are kind that You've created Your church so that there's not one of us here who could survive as a Christian alone. You have chosen to give us gifts, not for ourselves, but You've chosen in the way You've constructed the church, not to make heroes, but to make people who are mutually dependent on every other part of the body. And You've made it so that the way that we receive joy is by using what we have in order to love other people. And Father, I just pray that we would get it. I pray, Father, that we as a church would get it, that every single member, every joint, every single gift would be used, every person, regardless of how little or big, young, old, mature, brand spanking new, I pray that You would give us grace to find out what You've created us for, and with all of our heart, we would seek to love each other with it. And we pray that the name of Jesus would be honored. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.